We're going to be talking about partnerships and the WMO. And my name is Kenneth Eagleton, and I am Director for Field Partnerships with IM Incorporated. And I want to start this seminar with a couple of stories first. And the first story is about a church that was started in Malvin Norte, a neighborhood of Montevideo in Uruguay, by IM missionaries in 1986. The Montevideo metropolitan area is home to half of the population of Uruguay, and it's definitely a place where Free Will Baptists need a church. So property was bought, and a beautiful building was put up with the help of donations from the U.S., especially from the state of Alabama. And eventually the church was turned over to Uruguayan leadership. The missionaries turned their focus to planting churches, other churches in the Montevideo area, and setting up a training program for training leaders for our work in Uruguay. The national pastors eventually moved on for different reasons, and they left the congregation without a pastor. And attendance started dwindling, and they left mostly elderly people there to take care of the congregation. After about 3 years without the prospect of getting another Uruguayan pastor, the congregation began looking at its options. It seemed like they would eventually be forced to close the church and sell the property, since they were increasingly finding it difficult to keep things going. So about this time, I became aware that the Cuban Free Will Baptist had a vision for sending their own missionaries. They wanted to send missionaries to other nations. They were aware that that was part of their Great Commission responsibility. And a couple of pastors were already specifically praying for Uruguay. So they welcomed the suggestion of going to Uruguay to revitalize Emmanuel Church in Malvin Norte, there in Uruguay. The church in Cuba, they had a pastor that was ready to go, but no funds to send him and his family. So Alabama Free Will Baptist learned of the interest of Cuba sending a pastor to Uruguay to revitalize it, and they committed $15,000 a year for at least 3 years towards this project. IM intermediated the negotiations between Uruguay, Cuba, and Alabama, and raised the funds for their tickets and part of their support. And they are there now revitalizing the church and doing a very good job of it there in Montevideo, Uruguay. That is an example of a partnership. A second story that I would like to tell you is that in early 1960s, IOM sent a medical missionaries to Northeast Ivory Coast to a village called Doropo. A clinic and then a hospital were built with the mission managing and maintaining staff there until 1998, when it was turned over to the African Believers. The African Believers organized an NGO, a non-governmental organization called Baraka, which means Valley of Blessing, to manage that hospital, which they continue to do to date. About 4 or 5 years ago, they were unable to recruit any local Christian doctors to continue the work. In this moment of crisis, I remembered that we have many doctors and other medical personnel in our churches in Cuba. And I put the word out, and sure enough, an X-ray tech and a couple of doctors volunteered to work in Ivory Coast. So in 2017, the X-ray tech, who is the lady there on the right, Lassada, She began working under the supervision of Baraka. So she actually went to work for the NGO run by our African believers, by Baraka, at the hospital there in Dorpo. The process proved to be a little more complicated for the medical doctor. It took a lot of red tape and 2 years before Dr. Katiuska and her husband, Pastor Yosniel, and their two children arrived in Ivory Coast in April of 2019. This was made possible by WNAC and AC groups around the country, or WAC groups around the country, that contributed to pay for the tickets for this family of four to go, and also they contributed towards furnishing their house there in Dorpo, the house where they're living. So IM has contributed with numerous other expenses, as well as serving as facilitator and translator for a four-way partnership that spoke three different languages: French, Spanish, and English. Now, these are a couple of examples of the development of exciting projects that have come out of our partnership on different mission fields. IM has increasingly worked in cooperation with other organizations forming partnerships. 4 years ago, during an internal reorganization of IM, the position of Director of Field Partnerships was created, and it's a position that I hold. So at the National Convention in Louisville, in that same year, 2017, it's the last national that I had an opportunity to participate in. I had a brother that came up to me. I was waiting in the line to buy some food, and a gentleman came up to me, and he assured me that he was faithfully praying every day for partnerships, and I was encouraged by that. But then he said, "But I don't know what they are." And so that's the reason for this partnership, is for us to kind of explain a little bit more about what the partnerships are. We want you to understand what they are, how they're funded, and to inform you a little bit about what's going on in some of those partnerships. So what is a partnership? Well, in our context, a partnership is a cooperation between IM and other like-minded organizations that are working internationally. And this is what we are doing more and more of lately. So why are we emphasizing partnerships? We continue to be a mission that sends out missionaries that do evangelism, do church planting, do training, but as an expansion to that, we are also emphasizing partnerships. So why do we emphasize partnerships? Well, there are a few reasons for that. First of all, the biblical teaching on mutuality, that list of one another's that we see in the New Testament. We are to love one another. We are to pray for one another. There is a whole list of one another's that show the need for us as Christians to engage in mutuality. We're not just an island to ourselves, but we are a body, and we work together in mutual relationships. Another reason for that is because of our mission statement. Our mission statement says that we exist to labor with the body of Christ to fulfill the Great Commission. And then also, partners are just who we are at IM. We're all part of a team. Another reason is because one of our core values — we have seven core values at IM, and one of our core values is interdependence. We believe that interdependence is biblical. Not independence, but interdependence. It goes together with mutuality. We depend one on another. We need one another. So interdependence is one of our core values. Also, the need to continue a legacy. We want to continue a relationship in places where Free Will Baptist over the years have invested heavily, both in personnel as well as in finances, and where no longer we have resident missionaries. We want to continue that legacy in these countries, and so we can do that through the partnerships. Another reason for it is the potential that our churches in the global south and the global east, that is, our churches overseas in certain areas of the world, they have a tremendous potential. And we are wanting to come alongside them and facilitate what they are doing as their part and their responsibility in the Great Commission. There are some countries and some regions that are sending out more and more of their own missionaries, and they have great potential for this to grow. And that's true not just in other denominations, it's true in our denominations. And we are having missionaries, cross-cultural missionaries, come out of our Free Will Baptist churches in other countries. And so we want to tap into that huge potential. Also, we're all about expanding our Free Will Baptist network worldwide. We want to give opportunities for more Free Will Baptists to get involved in global missions through IM. And sometimes we are not able to offer something that is specifically one of our programs, but if we are partnering with another organization that does offer those opportunities, then that allows our Free Will Baptists to have more opportunities to be engaged in global missions. And I'm sorry, I don't remember who said this. Maybe somebody here does, but I've heard it several times from different sources, and it is true. We're too big not to do more, but too small to do it all. So we need each other. We need to work in cooperation. Some basic principles that we use as we talk about partnerships and as we work in partnerships with others and as we think about which are the organizations that we will partner with and which are the ones that we will not partner with, we have a few basic principles that we use that we believe how the partnerships should work. The first one is that each partner contributes something. I like to think of it like this. If your church has a fellowship dinner, a potluck style dinner, everybody is going to contribute something to that meal. Everybody's going to bring something. You usually have cooks that are famous for this dish that they make or that dish that they make, and you can always count on them to bring that, you know. There are some others that don't cook, but they go and they set up the tables and they do the cleanup afterwards, or they will take things down and things like that. So everybody cooperates in one way or another. Not everybody is doing the same thing, but everybody has a function in it. So I like to think about it in that sense. It's kind of like these potluck dinners in our partnerships. Everybody brings something to the table in the partnerships. It could be expertise. It could be physical labor. It could be personnel. It could be finances. It could be several different things that they bring to the table. And what they bring to the table is not necessarily the same thing. I mean, each partner is going to bring something different to the table. And it's not necessarily what we would consider equal. Some are able to bring more than others are able to contribute to the partnership. But if it's a partnership, everybody has to do something. You know, everybody has to bring something to the table. Another principle that we work by is that our partnerships should help and not hurt. Sometimes we work under the impression that when we do things for other people, it always helps them. Now, our intentions might always be to help, but sometimes what we do intending to help actually hurts the partnership or the organization or the people. But what we want to do is understand how we can come alongside our partners, how we can facilitate without the intention of taking charge of the partnership, without the intention of wanting to show you how to do it, because we know and you don't know how to do it, so we're going to show you how to do it, without that kind of an attitude, or without that kind of an attitude of, you know, I have everything, you don't have anything, so I'm always the one that's going to be giving to you. Those are paternalistic type attitudes. Those types of attitudes do not work in a partnership. And so we want to come in a humble learning attitude to understand what our partners are doing, what they need, and to see how we can come alongside them, respect them, and bring dignity to each that are involved in the partnership. And we definitely want to avoid dependency, because dependency is one of those things that hurts. You think that you really feel good about what you're doing because you're contributing with something, but if you're not looking towards the future, you don't realize that actually you are creating a dependency of them on you. And then when that resource doesn't come anymore, then they're cut off, then they're just right back to where they started. They're not any better off. In fact, they're probably worse off than when they got started. So one of our principles is, at all costs, avoid dependency. That doesn't mean that we don't contribute or don't do something, but we have to do it in a way that doesn't create dependency. Another principle that we have in our partnerships is that we give priority to organizations where Free Will Baptist are already working. We're not the only ones. IM is not the only organization that's doing international missions or missions cross-culturally. We realize that, and that's fine, that's okay, there's no problem there. So we realize that we are not the only ones that are doing it. Others are doing a good job, but sometimes we can cooperate with what others are doing. And so if there is someone that's already doing something and there is a possibility of our cooperating, then we give priority to where Free Will Baptists are already involved. Sometimes they're involved in an organization that's not even Free Will Baptist. It may be non-denominational or whatnot, but that could open up some doors for Free Will Baptist here to be able to serve in a more global way. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't work with organizations that don't have Free Will Baptist, and it doesn't mean that all other organizations that do have Free Will Baptist, we will automatically partner with them. I'm just saying that that's a situation where we would give some priority to that. Also, another principle that we have is, especially when we are working with associations of churches overseas, Free Will Baptist churches overseas, we have a policy of working through the national associations, not with specific churches. We don't want to say, okay, single out one church and say, okay, we're going to do a project just for them, you know. And so they get money or they get help, they get resources, and the others don't. But what we try to do is work with the national association or the national church. They get together, they decide what are the priorities. They tell us this is the area where we need needs. So we work through them so that when the resources are distributed, they are distributed to where it is strategic, where it is most needed, and where we are not playing favorites and saying, okay, we're going to help you and we're not going to help them, but in a way that we work together in a partnership with the national church. The next segment is talking about some types of partnerships that we are involved in. We have two main types of partnerships. The first being national church partnerships and partnerships with kingdom agencies. So I want to speak a little bit about each one of these two. First of all, the national church partnerships. These are more or less the situation that we have in our historical mission fields, where we have sent missionaries out and they have done evangelism, they have planted churches, they have trained leaders. These leaders have assumed responsibility on those fields, and it is no longer strategic for us to maintain missionaries in those fields when they can do the job, and we can reassign missionaries to other areas that are needed where it is needed. And so we no longer have resident missionaries in these countries. But when we do that, we don't simply withdraw and abandon them, but we want to maintain a relationship with them. And we also want to help them in some areas where they may not be fully autonomous. A good example of that, and I'll just give one example. There are several we could mention. A good example with that is leadership training. A lot of our countries where we no longer have missionaries, resident missionaries, and they are in charge of the leadership training programs, they still need some help. Sometimes in finances, sometimes in teachers for specific areas. So they're in our partnerships, in many of our partnerships, leadership training is a big component because that's one of the last areas that they actually assume responsibility for. And so we want to maintain a relationship with these countries, and our partnership permits us to do that, studying together where are the areas that they most need it and trying to facilitate them to do a job, to do a better job, or to do it quicker. Truth of the matter, in a lot of these areas, they can do a better job than we can because they know the language better, they know the culture better, and they're adapted to their milieu, and it's not uncommon for them to have even quicker growth after the missionaries are no longer involved. But a lot of times they still need some help in certain areas. So we try to identify those areas and maintain projects in those areas which can facilitate them to become fully assume the responsibilities in all areas or to reach other areas quicker. So that would be the National Church Partnership. We have several of them. Some examples are Brazil, Panama, Cuba, Ivory Coast, and India. We're in the process of vetting also some partnerships in places like Pakistan and Bangladesh and some others as well. Actually, I'm telling you, in the last few months, there have been tremendous opportunities that have been opening up to us. Like we haven't seen in a long time. And we've got to have a lot of wisdom in deciding, which route to go and how fast to go or how slow to go. But it's a good problem to have because the Lord has been opening up tremendous opportunities for us. The second type of partnerships that we have are the partnerships with kingdom agencies. These are partnerships with like-minded Free Will Baptist or non-denominational kingdom mission agencies, which would serve our strategic purposes. I see three major subtypes of this type of partnership that we have. The first one is with local ministries. These are some agencies that focus on a specific ministry in which we would have an interest in participating. Some examples of that are Village of Hope in Uganda, We have a partnership with them. They have a booth here at our exhibition area. Jungle Kids for Christ in Ecuador, who also have a booth here. Baraka in Ivory Coast is an example of that. A second subtype would be agencies or organizations that have a specialized mission or a specialized area that they work in, a specialized ministry that they work in. These agencies focus on specific ministries, and they can be a tremendous asset to us. And they can be very complementary to what we are trying to accomplish. Some areas of specialization in which we currently have partnerships include, but not limited to, leadership training, missionary training, teaching English as a second language, humanitarian projects, which we do through THP, Christian school ministries, church planting in Central Asia. So there are some of those agencies that specialize in an area, and we partner with them in those areas that they specialize in. A third subtype would be partnering with other Free Will Baptist ministries. This includes our Free Will Baptist colleges, and I am currently in talks with a couple of our colleges that are helping us with our leadership training overseas, we're creating partnerships to where our colleges get involved in the training that is happening overseas. So those are some partnerships that we are having with our Free Will Baptist colleges, with Randall House, that has been very good in helping us with literature in other languages, with NAM, North American Ministries, with WNAC. WNAC has been very active in many of these projects. The Free Will Baptist Foundation, too, they've been very supportive in many of the projects. And other independent Free Will Baptist organizations, for example, Bridge Builders for the Cross. We've got a couple of projects with them, as well as with Friends of India. And Sherwood's on the Friends of India board here. And many, many other organizations, Free Will Baptist organizations that we partner with in one project or another. Some types of projects, because each one of these partnerships has at least one project, sometimes multiple projects within the same partnership. And I'm just going to run through these fairly quickly and give you an opportunity here to ask questions. And if you would like to go more into detail on any of these, we can, but we just don't have the time to spend on all of these types of projects. But just to give you an idea of the breadth of different projects, we have leadership training, which I have already mentioned. We're involved in most of our partnerships with leadership training, but also church planting. And we are a church planting mission. We are very focused on church planting, and many of these other things that I mentioned are actually feeders for or supportive of church planting. They're not ends in themselves, but they are linked to church planting. Also, church construction. By the way, just speaking about church planting, I'm not going to go into details, but most of that church planting, the priority is for unreached people groups. That is, people groups that do not have the gospel, or where only a very small percentage of people in that people group have access to the gospel. And that's our priority, is to reach these unreached people groups. So church constructions, we have sent out teams that have helped with that, or we have helped purchase, for example, in Cuba, purchase house churches, because they cannot build church buildings, and so their expansion is being done through house churches. So house church purchases. Cross-cultural missions. I mentioned that on many of our fields, cross-cultural missionaries are coming up or springing up, and we are helping them work through what it means to send missionaries to other countries. And in some cases, not in all cases, but in some cases also coming alongside financially to help them be able to get to other countries. Bible translation, or first of all, book publishing. Some of our Free Will Baptist books are being translated into other languages and then being published in these fields, especially those that relate to Arminianism, because it's very difficult to get books with an Arminian perspective in many of the languages. And sometimes we find ourselves needing to translate and publish books, especially doctrinal books. Bible translation and distribution. In some cases, we are involved in some Bible translation and distribution projects. Camps and retreats, Christian schools, medical projects, and social development projects like Hope Centers and adult literacy and working with at-risk children and AIDS orphans and microloan programs and immigrants and other things in this general social development area. So these are different types of projects that are involved in our partnerships. Now we come to a biggie, which is funding. Now remember, not all partnerships, or maybe it's not remember, maybe you don't know this, but not all partnerships receive funding. As I mentioned at the beginning, you come in with different things. Each one comes in with different things. And we know that in America, we do have more financial resources than most other areas of the world, especially where we work. And so finances a lot of times do come into place, but not all of our partnerships involve funds. But for the ones that do, we have two major sources of funding. Because we do not have these partnerships, these projects do not have missionaries attached to them going out to the churches and raising funds. So it becomes a huge challenge to us. How are we going to fund these partnerships? We have two major sources of funding. The first is designated giving to a partnership or a project within the partnership. We have, at the mission office, we have individual accounts for each one of these partnerships. And so sometimes there'll be an individual, a church, or a group, like Alabama, for example, as a state, has taken on that project of sending the missionary to revitalize a church in Uruguay. So sometimes it's states that will designate their support to a particular partnership. And this is an area which we hope we can help people understand that we need more and more of the designated type giving to be able to fund our partnerships. The second source is the World Missions Offering, or the WMO. Partnership, not all of the WMO, of the funds of the WMO, go to partnerships. But partnerships is the largest chunk of where the money goes to. It also goes to deficit accounts of missionaries, missionary deficit accounts. It has helped in the last few years to erase at the end of the year the deficit accounts of many missionaries. And there is a portion that also goes to the general fund. It's one of the sources of supporting the general fund. But the vast majority of the funds are a good chunk of it, a good portion of it goes to funding our partnerships. Our current partnership budgets total a little more than $400,000 a year. What is not covered by designated giving is then covered by the WMO. We have increasing opportunities to partner with different organizations and different situations that have arisen around the world. Our biggest challenges, or one of our biggest challenges, is how are we going to fund an expanding program of partnerships? And we only have, for now at least, we only have these two sources. We need to get more designated givers, people that will focus on one of these partnerships, that will visit, that will supply resources for it, not just money, but that will stay in touch, that will visit, will know what's going on, get involved, hands-on. And also, we would need to increase our WMO. We have a goal of increasing our WMO to $1 million. And we really hope that it gets there, but there's no guarantee that it will. We're still a long ways from $1 million. So it is a true challenge because we don't have dedicated fundraisers for these partnerships. And this is an area where I would like to encourage you, strongly encourage you, if you are not already participating in one of these areas, that you get involved. And if you are already involved and can increase what you are doing to the partnerships, you can make an impact, a significant impact, in so many areas around the world. And I will be glad to answer your questions and talk about specific things in just a few minutes. I would like to end, though, with another story. In March of last year, a multipurpose conference center was dedicated in Bondoukou, Ivory Coast, in Africa. In fact, there are some in this room that were there for the inauguration. This was the dream of Free Will Baptist Women's Auxiliary or organization there in Ivory Coast for many years. The goal was to build dorms where girls that come in from villages, many of the villages now in Ivory Coast, they have primary schools. But if they go on to higher schooling, a lot of times they cannot go in their village, they'll have to go to one of the towns or the cities. And a lot of times they have to move then somewhere where they may not have relatives, they'll have to move in with a family somewhere, and it puts them at risk. And so the goal of the women there in Ivory Coast was to build dorms for these girls from the villages where they could be housed while they studied in the city and avoid sexual abuse from staying in these host homes. It also would serve as a conference center where they could have retreats and training sessions. And these women have been saving their change to give once a year at the yearly conference towards this project, which seemed to them so huge and unobtainable. The WNAC heard about what they were doing, and women from several states raised money to help them. Elizabeth Hodges, along with Lynette Morgan, they were invited to be the speakers at their retreat last year. WNAC sponsored a grant request also to Free Will Baptist Foundation 2 years in a row, and were granted a total of $100,000 to go towards the construction of this multipurpose center. THP came alongside the women to help with the finishing touches of the building and cleaning so that the Ivorian women could have their retreat and dedication ceremony. IM has facilitated the logistics, translations, getting all parties involved, and financing part of the dedication ceremony. So you can see that you have several different organizations involved working in a partnership to accomplish a specific project. And these are the kinds of partnerships that IM wants to encourage. We want to facilitate and collaborate, cooperate, so that the gospel can get out to unreached people groups, so that churches can be established in many countries around the world, so that leaders can be trained in these countries that can carry on the work, and that we can have the kingdom can be extended to many different countries, not only the kingdom of the Lord, but also as Free Will Baptists, that we would have an important part in the extension of the kingdom.